What does one speak about on a night like this, in a week of meetings like this? It's not easy to get a subject. But my mind in recent days has been led in the lines of Matthew chapter 4. Now, if you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. The description here is of the mighty ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Elliot has been a good minister, respected and admired by all his colleagues in the ministry. But we all have to confess, there was no ministry like the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Didn't last for 40 years, only lasted for a few years. I want to consider with you the ministry of the Lord Jesus as it's outlined in these verses. I do it to encourage you and to encourage your minister, our brother. I do it also because 40 years of Mr. Elliot's ministry, he has sought to emulate and to copy and to imitate the ministry of his Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think it would be good to look at the ministry of our Lord. So we read verses 23 to 25. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Amen. The mighty ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses really give us a peep into what lies ahead in the Gospel of Matthew. Up to this present time, the ministry of the Lord has been in seclusion in the main. He's gathered round him his disciples now, and Matthew is about to launch us out into all the descriptions of the public ministry of Christ. But before he does that, he gives us this preface, this foretaste, this introduction to the ministry. So he's really summing up here the preaching and comforting ministry of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, the parts of that ministry. The parts of that ministry. You'll notice there in verse 23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. There is a dual aspect, two parts to his ministry. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was a ministry of words. He went about teaching and preaching. But it was also a ministry of comforting deeds, healing. Healing all that were oppressed. That active ministry is brought out by the three verbs. Teaching. Preaching. Healing. Underline those verbs. And note their order. Because their order is essential and vital. Teaching first. Preaching. Then healing. These words sum up Christ's ministry. And that's what you'll hear about often in this gospel as you read it. Matthew's just giving us a sneak preview. You will notice that the same verse as 23, almost verbatim, occurs in chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This concludes the first section of Matthew's book. These are two bookends. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus teaching, preaching, healing, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus teaching, preaching, healing, they are bookends. In closing the narrative, chapters 5 through to 9, the words and deeds of Jesus, the teaching and preaching of Jesus, and the healing ministry of Jesus. And he follows that order throughout chapters 5 to 9. In the example of his teaching and preaching ministry, he gives us the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then as examples of his healing ministry, chapters 8 and 9, he gives a detailed description of 10 miracles of healing. 10 miracles of healing. And then he closes it again in this bookend. The examples of the teaching, preaching, healing ministry of Jesus Christ. Christ's ministry was one of instruction and one of healing. It was one of enlightenment and it was one of comfort. It was one of light and it was one of heat. Teaching, healing. And the verbs are in the active. He was continuously doing this. It doesn't say he went about all Galilee taught in their synagogues. No, the writer wants us to feel the action. He went about all Galilee teaching, preaching, healing, continuance. He was doing it all the time. This was his ministry. I want you to notice, first of all, where the emphasis is. It's clearly on the teaching and preaching. On the distinction between the two, we'll come to in a moment. But you can clearly see here that the emphasis is on the instruction. The emphasis is on the Word, even as our brother has reminded us tonight. The emphasis is on the Word. The words of Jesus come first. The teaching and the preaching always has preeminence in his ministry. And it is always so in the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus leads the van in that regard, teaching and preaching. And he taught his disciples that. The Great Commission at the end, this is actually the first, this is here in actual fact here, he's speaking to his disciples just before that, follow me, I make you fishers of men. He's commissioning them to the ministry. And then at the end he says, go and teach. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go out to all the nations and teach and preach. And in the Great Commission, there is no emphasis whatsoever on healing. He doesn't say, go out to all the nations, teach, preach, and heal. He doesn't say that. He says, go and disciple all nations, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. The emphasis is on the preaching and the teaching. And that's why the Sermon on the Mount comes first, Matthew 5 through to 7, before we have the accounts of the miracles in chapters 8 and 9. Clearly, the Apostle Matthew is showing to us the emphasis of the proclamation of the Word in the ministry of Jesus. Words before deeds in Christ's ministry, and deeds to accompany and prove the authority of his words. That's why the deeds are there. They are to back up the words. They are to prove the authority of the words. Every miracle itself was a sermon, a word sermon. Everything that Jesus did, he was saying, as I heal the leper, I cleanse the sinner. As I raise the dead, I am the resurrection and the life. Even his deeds were his sermons. Now, we as ministers can't do that. We haven't the authority to work miracles and deeds like that. But we don't need to. The Holy Spirit has already been given after the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. So ministers carry on the teaching and the preaching, but they do not pretend to be healers. They can pray for healing, but they can't heal. No matter what some men pretend, they can't heal. But they must certainly teach and preach. And that's as far as our commission goes. Preach the word. And Mr. Elliott has done that. Faithfully. For 40 years. Now, why the emphasis on the words? Why the emphasis on teaching and preaching rather than on the miracles of healing? Well, the answer is very simple. Healing only directly affects the body. Preaching reaches to the soul. It changes the heart. Wasn't that how we were converted? The entrance of the word brought light. We were converted under the teaching and the preaching. You see, the body being healed doesn't convert you. There was a great preacher in London, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was lovingly called the doctor, and he was a medical practitioner. But after he became a Christian, he was greatly discouraged in the practice, because he realized that while all his skills and gifts were used in the healing of the body, and he was very useful in getting men recovered from all kinds of illnesses, but he realized that they just got better to go back and sin more. They just went back to their old ways. He fixed the body up to make it live longer in sin. And he was discouraged. And he was glad when God called him into the ministry. And it was easy to give up the practice, because now he could affect the soul. He could reach the heart. And it's only done through the preaching of the word of God. And so the miracles of Jesus did not in themselves reach the heart. You remember the healing of the 10 lepers. There were 9 of them didn't even bother their head coming back to give thanks. There was no change in their hearts. There's only one went back again to glorify God. That's why the emphasis is on the word, even in the ministry of Christ. Men need preaching and teaching. It is by the foolishness of preaching that God saves them that believe. Can we distinguish further between teaching and preaching? These two words describe the primary aspect of ministry. Concerning the teaching, we are told that it was in their synagogues. The synagogue was the assembly of the Jews for worship. The New Testament assembly is based on synagogue worship. In that assembly, there's reading of scripture, there's prayer, there's singing of praise, and there is teaching from the Old Testament scriptures in the days of the Jews, and now through the New Testament scriptures in the Christian assemblies. Ruled by elders also was the main thing in the synagogues, and it is carried on into the New Testament assembly. Jesus taught in the assemblies. That is, there was the reading of scripture, comment upon the same, exposition of the book. He expounded the law and the prophets. He preached the word. He used the scriptures. Mr. Elliott has faithfully followed in those tracks for 40 years, the centrality of the pulpit and the centrality of the book, teaching. But the preaching relates to the gospel, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. This is bringing out the good news, which is always based on the teaching and exposition of the word, but out of that and following that, there is the proclamation, the application, the bringing of the good tidings to sinners, founded upon the law and the prophets and the scriptures. And so that brings out the aspect of redemption to the hearts and consciences of the people. So the order is right. Preaching of the gospel, yes, But preaching based and grounded in teaching and instruction from the Word of God, there's not one without the other. Teaching and preaching. It's both. Certainly in the ministry of Jesus, it was so. And in Matthew 5 through to 7, the end, we have an example of that kind of expository and applicatory teaching and preaching. Men and women, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ proves to you that He wants you not to be entertained, but to be taught. He wants you to be instructed. He wants you to have the light of the Word. And you sinners, He wants you to hear the gospel. And He has given you a preacher who for 40 years has been doing that. He's just been doing that. He's been teaching you and He's been preaching the gospel. And you should thank God for such a privilege. The parts of the ministry of our Lord Jesus. I want you to notice, secondly, the places of that ministry. The Lord Jesus didn't stay in one place. It is true, Capernaum was His base, strategically chosen because it was a main fishing port at the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee at that time was the industrial factory of fishing in Israel. And there was a major trade route went down that coast, that west coast, passing by Capernaum, the Via Maris, the way of the sea. And Jesus established His base there in Galilee of the Gentiles, so that all those traveling people coming through would be en route of His ministry. And He discipled these men so that one day, instead of those nations passing through Capernaum by the trade route, one day He would send those men out to the nations. Jesus had a heart for evangelism. He was a missionary in His spirit. And while Capernaum was His base and much of His ministry activity took place there, generally the field of His labor was all Galilee. Verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee. There are several alls in this verse, but the first all is He went about all Galilee. Now that's a fairly wide area in the north of Israel. Historically, it runs from North Galilee, the mountains of Hermon, down through Central Galilee, the region directly around the lake itself, and then further south to Nazareth and even beyond. It's a fairly large region. I draw your attention to the words "went about." He went about. He went around, as we might translate it. He was evangelistic. He was an outreach worker. He not only called the people to come to Him, He went to the people. He went to them. And early those four disciples that He called just before this, they learned that. You know, it wasn't long to Mr. Elliot was in our door after he was here. That's why we're here tonight. Because He went around. He went about. What kind of ground was covered by Jesus? Well, we could look upon it as a rectangle. 70 miles long, reaching from Hermon, going down to Nazareth. 40 miles broad from the Galilee Lake to the Mediterranean Sea. Josephus says there were over 200 cities. By cities he means large villages and towns. Several thousand in each, perhaps. If Lord Jesus spent 2 or 3 villages a day, perhaps, He could cover Galilee, this region, in 3 months. But he went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. And archaeologists have dug up many parts of these places. They all have synagogues. It was a very active region with human life. Jesus went among the people, all Galilee. That's how extensive his ministry was. He was an outreach worker. He reached out. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's where his heart was. This business of fishing for men, he tried to infect his disciples with the same verse because he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's his heart. We have a look at his heart in that call. And every Christian assembly ought to be the same, to walk in the Lord's steps. And every minister should strive and endeavor to be so as well. We ought to be evangelistic. And praise God, we belong to a denomination that is so. And I think that's one of the great features of our denomination. Evangelistic. Went about. The nature and extent of this ministry shows how compassionate it was. It was a merciful and gracious ministry, bringing the good news and healing all manner of disease among the people. He taught and healed because he had a good heart. Peter summarizes his ministry up in the Acts of the Apostles. He went about doing good. He went about. Peter knew it. There's no kindness like the kindness of Jesus. And we ought to lie on that breast of his and capture the warmth of his compassion. Follow me. I make you fishers of men. And so the places show us the nature of his ministry. But what really stands out in the ministry of our Lord Jesus is the power of it. Powerful ministry. There never was a more powerful ministry than Jesus Christ's. Now, I know his ministry was not the main thing. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve us by the sacrifice of himself for our sins. But before he did that, he was pleased to be a minister and to teach his apostles and his disciples and his followers about the work of the ministry. In all things, he has preeminence. And certainly he has preeminence in the power that he enjoyed in his ministry. Though it was only short in duration, it was not short in function. It did not lack in authority. This gospel describes how he received in his humanity the fullness of the Spirit for the work of preaching the gospel. How he received that fullness to bring the gospel to the poor, of deliverance to the captive, and for healing for the brokenhearted. That's why he was endued with the Spirit. And every minister needs that power. Every preacher needs that unction. Now, we can never hope to have the degree of unction that our Lord Jesus had. But some degree of unction is essential. Mr. Elliot certainly had that unction in the 70s. These were days of power. Days of blessing. And since too, many days such. But certainly we need that unction again. The same power. Jesus encourages us. He says, all power in heaven and earth is mine. Go ye therefore, disciple nations, teaching them. I'm with you always. And that power too that I have in heaven and on earth. That's the greatest encouragement to a minister. And I'm sure our brother has received great comfort by that commission of our Lord Jesus, to know that his presence is promised and his power is at hand. His power is seen in the dual aspect of his ministry. His words were mighty and his deeds were mighty too. His teaching and preaching was with power and his healing was with power as well. What power in his words. Even his enemies had to say, never man spake like this man. We don't have an answer for him. This text is sandwiched between the powerful words of Jesus. Take that call to the four fishermen. Follow me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And you know what those men did? And fishing was their business. And it was big business. These men were, I think these men were not poor. They weren't fishing, you know, just for their tea at night. It was big business. They had boats. They had nets. They got those fish in, preserved them, shipped them off to all parts. But when Jesus said, follow me, immediately they left their nets, they left all, and they followed him. That's the power of Jesus' word. That's power. And then after that, after this preface, there's the Sermon on the Mount. What a sermon. What a mighty word. What heart-searching stuff. And we're told that he opened his mouth and taught them. This is part of the teaching that we're speaking about. And then at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7 and verses 28 through to 29, we have a summary of the effect. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching. Or as it is in our translating there, at his doctrine. They were astonished at this teaching. He taught them. Now these are astonished hearers. We never heard the like of this before. This is powerful. And it says they were astonished because he taught them as one having authority. Not as the scribes. Now the scribes knew the book. They copied the scriptures every week. They were in the text. But they didn't have the power. They didn't have the power. Jesus had the power in his preaching. He had unction. And they were astonished. And look at the power in his healing ministry. And remember that these are just merely signs and wonders to confirm the word that he taught. That's all they are. But they're powerful miracles. The miracles are like the king's seal on the message. The seal's not the main thing. It just shows the authority of the message. His teaching and his preaching is the message. But then he comes along and he puts the seal of his mighty works on his message to show their authority. And that's what the miracles are all about. The miracles aren't to be done by some Tom, Dick, and Harry. They're done to confirm the truth of Scripture. And they've been confirmed enough. And we don't need any pretenders today to tell us they can confirm the word. And so, the confirmations were mighty. He healed all manner. Notice the word all again. All manner of sickness. All manner of disease among the people. There was nothing that baffled him. There was nothing that he could not overcome. There was nothing that hampered his endeavors. He healed all manner of sickness. And then there is that fivefold list. Those diseased, verse 24, those tormented, those possessed, those lunatic, and those paralyzed. And then in chapters 8 and 9, we have examples of that type of thing that he did. Power. You know, that's what we need today. That all power in heaven and earth which Jesus has and which he's promised to his preachers. That's what we need today. And part of your chief work, brethren and sisters, is to pray for your minister. That he will know that unction afresh. That he will have that infilling always. So that he will know how to bring a word in season to you. And so, he's mighty, Jesus. And I could say something about the power of Jesus today. He's still powerful. If I could spiritualize all of these five areas, he's powerful to deal with your disease of sin. Maybe there's someone in here who's not converted, and the disease of sin has gripped your heart, and you can't break free of the habits. He's mighty to deliver. He touched the leper. The disease went. He can touch your heart and make it clean. He has power. And those tormented, those with divers diseases and different torments, torments of conscience and torments of soul, are you tormented tonight? There's one who can give you peace. And then those possessed with the devil, he set them free. The God of this world who's blinded the minds of them that believe not, the Spirit that worketh in them who are the children of disobedience. He can set the sinner free. Open the captive's prison house and bring him out. He's mighty. Power. And those who are lunatic, those who are mad in a career of sin, headlong on the broad road that leads to destruction, like lunatic men and women, their track. And those paralyzed, helpless to break the chains of sin, who have never been able to walk in the ways of God's commandments, who have been paralyzed in their prayer life, paralyzed in their walk with God, knowing no such a walk. He who delivered the palsied can give us the limbs to walk in the ways of God. That's our Jesus. All of this shows us. The popularity of his ministry also shows the drawing power of it. His focus was on Galilee, that is true. But Galilee was, as we said, strategically placed, and his fame reached to Syria. Even to Damascus. The news is full of Syria at the moment. Well, the news of Jesus reached there. And then he went through Galilee, and his fame spread not only through Syria, but we're told at verse 25 there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, the Decapolis. That's northeast. Galilee's the northwest. Then the southwest is Judah. And the southeast is the Transjordan, beyond Jordan, and then in the very heart, the very middle of these fivefold places here, Jerusalem. He even affected the people of Jerusalem. As the fivefold list of diseases that his power overcome, so these fivefold places are affected by his ministry. The power of his ministry. That's what we need. The unction. And Jesus had it. But there's one final thing. The prominence in his ministry. You see, why we can imitate and emulate and copy the ministry of Jesus Christ, there is one major difference. It says here in verse 24, he went about preaching, teaching, healing. Then verse 24 says, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. And verse 25, there followed him. He is prominent in his ministry. He's the object of prominence. He preaches, and men come to him. Men come to him for healing. Men come to him for deliverance. Men follow him. This is like no other ministry. Because in this ministry, he himself is the center and substance. The Christian ministry is different. The minister is concealed. The minister is hid. And the minister says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The minister says, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus preached himself." Jesus said to those who were out of the way, he says, "You're far from God. I am the way. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction, but you're heavy burden, but come unto me. All you that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that day when he was in the temple, when he stood at the ceremony of the pouring out of the waters, Jesus stood and he cried and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He preached himself. He read Isaiah in the synagogue of Nazareth. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said. And then he said to them, "This day the scripture is fulfilled." That's me. And so he preached himself. No minister preaches himself. The Christian minister does not draw followers after himself. That's not what about his business. The business of the preacher is to draw followers after Christ. The minister is not a man pleaser. He's a Christ pleaser. And he draws men after Christ. Whether they will hear it or whether they will forbear. He preaches Christ. But Jesus says, "Follow me." We say, "Follow him." So that's one major area of difference between the ministry of our Lord Jesus and the ministry of our brother. And so there is no minister like Jesus. And no ministry like Christ's. Minister Savior, minister Redeemer, Lord and Christ. And the church's ministry is to preach him. And our brother has done that for 40 years. Not many can say that. May you continue to do that, brother. Continue to preach him.